Our reading from the gospel today is Matthew 14 at verse 22. The New Testament lesson is there in the bulletin. You can find it and read it at home. And there Paul is asking the questions, how are our people right with God? How are people saved? And his answer, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. And so in Matthew 14, we'll read the miracle that follows the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Matthew 14, 22, hear God's word. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thus far the reading from God's holy word. Our scripture for the sermon is Matthew 14 at verse 22. And we will begin with prayer. Lord God, we ask that you would write on our heart every word of the story of Jesus. We pray that we would not be ignorant of these things which are so important to our faith. And we pray that the stories that we have heard of the accounts of what Christ has done would be a joy to hear again as we would get new insight and help to faith. We pray that the preaching would be faithful. And we ask, Lord, that you would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week's sermon, if we had been following the schedule, would have been on the feeding of the 5,000, which precedes this miracle. But I got behind in the Matthew 13 sermons when we had the anniversary celebration, so I'm trying to catch up, and this week we'll be back on track. And the portion that we missed was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which I think we're very familiar with. But in Matthew's account of what happened, he challenged the disciples that they were to give the people something to eat. And their answer was, in other words, his challenge was, "You feed the crowd before you send them away." And their answer was, "We can't." They did not have the resources. And that is a realization that we all need, because sometimes we go through life and we think, "Oh, I got this." When really each day we ought to have dependence on the Lord. Of ourselves, we have nothing to offer. And a Christian sermon is one that proclaims deliverance through Christ. Just as Paul would say in the New Testament lesson, how we're going to be right with God is by confessing that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. By believing that, we're looking to Jesus, not looking to ourselves. Christianity, any book about Christianity wouldn't be found in the self-help section of the bookstore. It's not about that. And this miracle is very much teaching this lesson. The lesson is that God does not abandon his people in these trying times. As Matthew shows us the account here of what Jesus did, right after the feeding of the 5,000, he made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So it was Jesus' idea. He made them. He ordered them to get into the boat as it was beginning to get dark and cross the lake, which was considerable distance of miles. And he made that. He made them do that. I think of this past week when we had that crazy windstorm that, I don't know, lasted a fairly short time, but it must have been around 50 miles an hour from what all blew down in that short time. And I thought, it's a good thing I wasn't out on the water when that happened. That wouldn't have been any fun at all. But the disciples were here. They were out in the water. And you might ask the question, when you're going through a real stormy period, whose idea was this? Are you where the Lord wants you to be? And here Jesus wanted his disciples to be in that situation. And so maybe you're in a stormy period of life and you're right where Jesus wants you to be. Now, sometimes the storms come to us because we really messed up. And the teaching for that would be the story of Jonah when he ran the other way, where God assigned him to be the prophet to Nineveh, and he didn't want to go there, and he took a boat the other way, and God sent this terrific storm. And the sailor said, why is this happening? Well, it turned out that Jonah was running away from God. He caused that. And some of the storms that we have, yeah, we brought that about. And what do we need to do then? Well, we need to do what Jonah did when he was in the belly of the fish. He prayed to God and he repented and God delivered him. So there's even deliverance in those times. But here, many storms that come upon us are not due to disobedience. We may be right where we should be. Is this where God wants you to be? That's the important question. And Jesus, his reason that why he wasn't in the boat was he stayed back to pray. And the storm comes. The storm comes, and the boat is considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind is against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them. So here they are out in the water, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., so it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. They're out there in the middle of this big lake. There's nobody coming. The wind is contrary to where they need to go. Mark tells us that Jesus saw the disciples straining at the oars. They were doing their best. And they were out there in a boat that was far less seaworthy than anything that we get into. This wooden boat. It wasn't that big. It didn't look like the boat on your cover. It didn't look like that. The boat from that time was much smaller. They have one on display in Israel. And it's a wooden boat. And wooden boats tend to take on water. And they didn't have styrofoam flotation. They didn't have life jackets. They're in a bad situation. And Jesus goes out to his disciples walking on the water. This teaches us that Jesus is not ignorant of their situation, not ignorant of your situation. And he's not uncaring. He's not uncaring at all. We have to remember that the teaching that shows up already in the Old Testament, back in the time of Moses, when Moses is going to leave and God is going to take him away And he tells the Israelite people, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or terrified because of the enemies, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses tells this to Joshua in front of all the people. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with his people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. We find the same promise repeated in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is for us as believers in Christ, that God will not abandon you. He will not abandon you. God does not abandon his people, as he shows here. And so we have Jesus going out to them, and the presence of Jesus brings good cheer, brings courage to all disciples. When you see the Lord coming, it's a great encouragement. First, there is misunderstanding as they experience this strange deliverance. Jesus goes to them. He's walking on the lake. And they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. There's a word here in the Greek that shows up where Christ uses this about five times when he comes to his disciples. And it's a word for encouragement. When you realize the Lord is with you, it's a great blessing. The gospel is not, it's so important that you see this. It's not spiritual self-help. It's not look inside yourself. It's Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? And it doesn't matter what we experience in life. Trouble or hardship or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or war, whatever it is, God will not separate us from his love. And so he shows up walking on the water. And his word of comfort is, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Literally, in the Greek, it's I am, which goes back to Exodus 3, where Moses asked God his name, and God said, my name is I am that I am, which shows to us that God is always existing. He's always there. And in Job chapter 9, verse 8, we see that God is the one who's treading the waves, and it's a sign of deity then, where Jesus is walking on the waters. It shows that he's God, that Jesus is God. It's what the disciples would understand from it. And like the feeding of the 5,000, where he multiplies the bread and the fish, he shows that he is the Lord of all creation. And so if God's people are in danger from our human point of view, if we're in danger because of obedience to Christ, if that's the case, then fear not. Jesus said, don't be afraid. And that is the command that's most often found in the Bible for believers who are in a dangerous situation, but who are doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing, and the messengers come to them, the prophets, the angels, the Lord Jesus, the apostles, fear not if you're doing the right thing because the Lord is with you. And that is what we long for, I think, every Sunday morning. I was listening this past week to a podcast where an American historian was talking about a sermon that was preached by a patriot prior to a battle where there was significant victory for the Continental Army. And ahead of that, in a very dangerous situation, this pastor or this Christian preached the sermon. He preached a sermon to expect good tidings. If you remember the King James, when the angel comes with the birth announcement of Jesus, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which is the old English for good news. And when we come to church, we want to expect good news. And the good news here is that Jesus is with us, the good news of the gospel. And we find Peter responding to that with the question, this amazes me, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. I can't tell you why Peter wanted to get out of the boat and experience that with Jesus. I wouldn't have asked for that, I have to tell you. But Peter did. I do believe that Peter was a great swimmer because we read in John's gospel that they were 100 yards from shore and he jumped out of the boat to come to Jesus. But this wouldn't have been a good situation for a good swimmer to be in a storm like that. But Peter asked Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Sometimes we refer to there's only one person that's walked on the water, but actually there were two. Peter, for a very short time, was the second person. He walked on the water. And then, very shortly, he got into trouble. In verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? So here's Peter. He's able to do it. And this would have been quite a sight to see. You know, if we would have had our cell phones, we'd like to take a picture of that. It would have been quite a sight to see. Everything goes well for Peter at first. And he takes his first steps totally trusting the Lord. But faith is dynamic. In other words, it's not like, okay, you do it and it's done, it's locked in. Living faith is not set in concrete. It's a continual action on your part. And focusing on the storm makes a believer a person of little faith. In verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. He saw the wind. Now, you don't see wind, but you see the effects of the wind. You see the waves. You hear the wind whistling in your ear. And when that was Peter's comprehension, and his vision of Christ was blurred by that, this is what was foremost in his mind. He began to sink. And that's the same thing that happens to us when we're in the storms and we take our mind off the Lord and his promises. And by the way, faith means you lay hold of the promises. In order to have faith, you have to know the promises. You have to rely on the promises. And you take your mind off what God has said. And you just look at your troubles and you start to sink. And I know I do. I start to sink. And focusing on a storm makes a person of little faith. Faith is when you don't look to yourself. Faith is when you believe God, when you trust, even though you can't see. How in the world can you walk on water? And yet Peter did. But when he started to think about where he was at, he began to sink. And Jesus caught him and lifted him up and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Sometimes we don't think doubting is such a bad thing. Why did you doubt? That's a probing question for us all. Why do you doubt? Well, that's an issue for all of us. A lot of people have the misconception of being a pastor is a very cushy job. But I will tell you, there are some sleepless nights. They're looking at problems that people are going through, working with that. And it's a situation right now where there's kind of a pastor shortage happening. I have the same struggles. I have the same struggles. It's easy to look at the problems. It's easy to look at the doubts. It's easy not to see the solutions and to forget that God can deal with all of it. And a person of little faith is a believer who doubts. So where are you at today? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you praying for his deliverance? Are you looking to him? Is he the one that's in full view? And as he takes his disciples through this experience, what happens is they worship him. When they climbed into the boat, Peter and Jesus climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is already the start of the gospel. The wise men come with their gifts, and they come to the baby Jesus. Where is he born? King of the Jews is what brought him to that area. And they bring their gifts, and they worship him, the wise men. And that's the first time in the Gospel of Matthew. Well, here it is again. The disciples of Jesus also confess that Jesus is truly the Son of God. This is the most important transition of a disciple of Jesus. When you firmly know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he can take you through this tough time. And the earnest plea of the disciple is the prayer that Jesus offered. And it's not very long, but it's very sincere, because he had that wave come over his head and it's looking pretty tough. And he prays, "Lord, save me." What a great prayer. That's one that we should know and offer ourselves. The Gospel of Matthew introduces Jesus as Emmanuel. He's God with us in the opening chapter. And here in this miracle, we see this coming to expression. He's with his people. He comes to them on the water. He knows their situation, and he comes to deliver. And so as believers, your calling today is to walk in the way of the Lord by faith. This is how you live your life, to walk in his ways, to keep your focus on Christ in the midst of the trials. Don't doubt his knowledge of it, his love for you, or his deliverance, which is going to happen. Expect good news as you pray to the Lord. He directs you to worship him as the Lord of creation, the Lord of your life. And in the storms of life, you are not self-sufficient. You need to find the grace of Christ sufficient. And pray like Peter, "Lord, save me." Let's pray. Lord, we are dependent upon you for your salvation. We are dependent on you for answers to prayer. We pray that you would take your people through the storms of life that are happening right now, and of those that are future for us. We look back on your deliverances in the past, and we give you praise. Help us to know that you are God, that you are bigger than all our problems, that you, O Lord, will hear your people and grant your deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen.